like to welcome everybody out there on the internet, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, wherever you happen to be meeting with us here. We are so glad that you have signed in and joined in this day to the Heart of Christ Church. And today's sermon is really kind of cool. This is a sermon title that my mother and father used to say to me all the time when I was growing up. How many of you had your mother or father look at you and say, "Oh, for crying out loud"? Yeah, yep, yeah. Well, I'll tell you right now, it doesn't have the same connotation today. But it just so amazed me, because this was given to me, this sermon idea was given to me by a dear lady, a wonderful saint that I knew in ministry when I first became a pastor back in 1997. And it was amazing to me that, you know, in meeting up with her some 20 plus years later, you know, she spoke to me about some things, and she said, "Well, Pastor, have you ever cried out before the Lord?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, I do that all the time." She said, No, I'm not talking about praying out loud." She said, "I'm literally talking about crying out." And I was like, because I pray all the time. You know, when I'm driving down the road, people probably think I'm singing. But the actuality is I don't have my radio on. My son hates driving with me, and my wife falls asleep because it's dead silence, and I don't talk, okay? It's funny, because I ride to the mountains with JB or go fishing with Wayne. You know, it's talk, 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 talk. I'm in the car with my wife or my son. Weird. But that's when I pray, okay? But I'm not talking about just praying. I'm talking about crying out. When was the last time you cried out? And it was amazing, because it brought up some things in my mind, some things that happened in my mind, and then in my life, things that happened, and some of the ways God met me when I was literally vocal out loud by myself. And today we're going to look at some of that, because the reality is, God wants us to cry out to Him, but not just crying out. Because everybody, you know, how many of us scour the internet for the best chocolate cake recipe, right? Okay, we look for all these different things on the internet because we want to know how to do it. And we want to, you know, "Oh, well, you know, this pastor over here says to do it this way, and this pastor over here says to do it this way. And there's got to be a recipe to get to heaven, right? There's got to be a recipe. We got to be able to put it together somehow, and God's going to work the same every time, all the time." No. You see, God wants to meet us in faith. So we're the ones who have to reach out. We're the ones who have to get real. And when we do get real, it's amazing what God does. So today, I want us to look at this crying out. First place I want you to turn, because if we're going to talk about crying out, we've got to go back to 2 Chronicles, Old Testament, 2 Chronicles. We're going to be in chapter 32. 2 Chronicles. How many of you love reading the book of Chronicles? Especially Chronicles 1, because that's the genealogies, right? You know, that's probably my favorite book in the Bible. No. No. Because it's tough reading. But if you can work your way through that and understand that God is trying to teach us that God is faithful and God sustains and God brings things through. He is long-suffering, and we need to understand that. Then we'll get into some things where we get to see just how God's long-suffering affects us and how much good there is here for us. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Miss Tina. Amen. Because this is what this is all about. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to cry out unto Him. From the 2 Chronicles 32, beginning in verse 9. I'm going to read 9 through 23, okay? But then we're going to go back and focus on a very small section of this, because I have to get this story to you. I need to relate the history of what is happening, how God met His people and how God meets His people. From verse 9, in 2 Corinthians and 32. After this, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, sent his servants to Jerusalem while he was besieging Lachish, with all his forces with him against Hezekiah, king of Judah, and against all Judah who were at Jerusalem, saying, "Thus says Sennacherib, king of Assyria, on what are you trusting that you are remaining in Jerusalem under siege? Is not Hezekiah misleading you to give yourselves over to die by hunger and by thirst, saying, 'The Lord our God will deliver us from the hand of the king of Assyria'? Has not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars and said to Judah and Jerusalem, 'You shall worship before one altar, and on it you shall burn incense'? Do you not know what I and my fathers have done to all the peoples of the lands? Were the gods of the nations of the lands able to at all to deliver their land from my hand? Who was there among all the gods of those nations which my fathers utterly destroyed who could deliver his people out of my hand, that your God should be able to deliver you from my hand? Now therefore, do not let Hezekiah deceive you or mislead you, and do not believe him, for no god of any nation or kingdom has been able to deliver his people from my hand or from the hand of my fathers. How much less will your God deliver you from my hand?' His servant spoke further against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. He also wrote letters to insult the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, 'As the gods of the nations of the lands have not delivered their people from my hand, so the God of Hezekiah will not deliver his people from my hand.' They called out with a loud voice in the language of Judah to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall to frighten and terrify them so that they might take the city. They spoke of the God of Jerusalem as of the gods of the peoples of the earth, the work of men's hands. But," love that word, "but King Hezekiah and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, prayed about this and cried out to heaven. And the Lord sent an angel who destroyed every mighty warrior, commander, and officer in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned in shame to his own land. And when he entered the temple of his God, some of his own children killed him there with the sword. So the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others, and guided them on every side. And many were bringing gifts to the Lord at Jerusalem and choice presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was exalted in the sight of all nations thereafter." This story is history. And this is something that I want us to understand. When we are crying out, because there are mountains that need to be moved. We're not crying out because, well, I want that new car, so I'm going to cry out to God and he's going to give me that new car. No. When we're at the place of crying out, it is a place of crisis. How many of us have been at the place of crisis? And we go into our prayer closet and we weep and we moan and we think God's going to honor those prayers. I'm going to talk to you a little bit differently. Does God love our prayers? Yes, he does. But when you are facing the mountains of life, when you are facing the giants of life, and you know there's nothing you can do, defeat is imminent, we need to remember whose we are. We cannot forget that we are the God of creation's children. Everything that was made falls subjugate to him. And if we as the children of God have been given that reality, have been given that blessing, then God also says to us in the truth of his word that if we cry out before him, if we humble ourselves and cry out before him, God will move. How do I know that? Well, we're going to look at that in a little bit, because we got to go through this thing logically first. I need you and I to look at verse 20 and 21 of what we just read. Here comes this king from Assyria, Sennacherib. And he comes before and he insults God, and he insults God, and he insults God, and he insults the king. And he has the longevity of proof behind him to think his boasts are real. No other kingdom has come against him. He has stood the test of time and is raised up to be the mightiest nation in the earth at this time, defeating everybody. Here he comes before little Israel. Remember, Israel has been broken and it's divided and, you know, it's just this tiny little place now. And they got a king down here and he's weak because, you know, he made the people stop worshiping God, which we're going to talk about that in just a little bit, because he did not make them stop worshiping God. In fact, he got right, but we'll look at that in a second. But what does the scripture say? Look at verses 20 and 21. Verse 20. But King Hezekiah and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, prayed about this and cried out to heaven. Folks, I want you to understand something. The king of Israel is the person who was anointed by God to rule over Israel. Okay? The king was to be a man subjugate to God, that he was to be God's representative. Did he speak for God? No, he represented God. Who spoke for God? The prophet Isaiah. You see, this king got it right. This king got it right. He was working with the prophet of God because he went to the one who God spoke through. And as he went and got with Isaiah, they got down on their face. And they not only prayed, but they cried out before the Lord. Now, I want you to understand something. This account of what is happening here is also at two other places in the scripture. It's in the book of Isaiah, and it's in the book of 2 Kings. I would tell you, please, and folks out there on the internet, look this stuff up. Because you'll find two different accounts, a little bit more added to it, to give you a fuller picture of what's going on. And I chose this for that very reason, because there's a whole lot more here for you to see and grasp. Because King Hezekiah, when he went before the Lord, remember it said that the king had sent letters, Sennacherib had sent letters, he spread them out on the floor before the Lord. Can you imagine the posture of the king? All right, here's the king of Israel, and he knows God is his defender. Do you think he stood up and shook his fist at God? No. Do you think he got on his face and said, God, I'm dust. This guy has 50, 100, a million times more than I got. I can't even go outside the gates. If I open the gates, we're done. In your life, have you ever felt like that? If I open the gates, I'm done. That's what I'm talking about here. And I'm going to tell you right now, each and every one of us has been there. And what we do is we hear and the evil one talks to us and says, oh, you know, how dare you go before God? You're not worthy of anything here. You know, you're a sinner. You're going to go before God? Yes, I'm going to go before God. But I'm going to go in a manner that I'm humble in heart. I'm going to go in a manner where I am on my face. I'm going to go that I'm in a manner that I know my right position before God. I deserve nothing, but God says, if you will cry out to me, if you will come to me, if you will seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declareth the Lord. Can I get an amen? You're all looking at me like, oh my gosh. I know I get intense at times. But let me know it, because I'm going to tell you right now, God wants to meet us in the midst of our joy. How many of us, we love, you know, we just sang those praises. How many of you felt Jesus in the midst of those praises? Oh, man, I know I did. Wow. I'm telling you. But God wants us to feel the same way in the midst of our struggles. When we are at the end of our rope, tie a knot. Okay, because if you hang on just long enough and humble yourself just a little bit and cry out. You know, when you're at the end of the rope, do you sit there and whisper, "Help, help"? No, you're screaming as loud as you can, right? You want to get the word out. You want somebody to hear you. Well, who's the somebody who needs to hear you? God, all right? And when you're at the end of your rope, when you are facing that mountain, do you think you need to cry out in a loud voice or in a whisper? I think we need to cry out in a loud voice. We need to get real before God. You know, I'm amazed because I got to thinking, you know, when she said this, when this dear saint said this to me, she said, you know, have you ever cried out? Oh, yeah, you know, when I'm driving my car, when I'm out, you know. And then I literally got to thinking about, when did I ever cry out? And I can remember twice in my life crying out. The first time I cried out was when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. First time I cried out is when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was 20 feet up in a tree stand in the middle of the woods, and we were doing a prayer vigil at St. Pete's. Many of you have heard this part of my testimony, and you could sign up that wherever you were, you would be praying for 1 hour, okay? I was 20 feet up in a tree, and I'm sitting there, and I was talking to the Lord, and I had no idea what to say and no idea what to do. First time I'd ever signed up for a prayer vigil, and so I'm 20 feet up in the tree. I got camouflage on so nobody could see me. God could see me. God knew I was there. And I started praying out loud, and it literally got to the point where my heart hurt, and I didn't know why. I was a Christian. You know, this was 1996, and I'm a Christian, and I've been going to church since 1994, and you know, gave my life to the Lord, and you know, what's going on? You know, what's wrong? And finally, I just got, I got so, I don't know what to say. My spirit was torn within me, and I cried. I said, "God, what do you want me to know?" And within about 30 seconds, I was back 2,000 years in Israel. God took me right to the cross of Calvary, and I watched the crucifixion as though I were there. Never experienced anything like that in my life. I mean, I've seen visions before. God's given me visions. But I was there. I heard the people. I could smell the sweat, the heat. God broke me. God broke me. And from that day forward, wow, did my life change. Because the Holy Spirit just began to exude in me like I've never experienced. My life changed. And you see, that's what a crying out moment is. God's going to change your life. He's going to change your situation. Because God is the God of the mountains. And we need to understand that. And when we are willing to lessen ourselves to the point where you and I know that we are nothing, that He is everything, God will open His heart to us. Now, does that mean He's going to give you everything you desire? No. But He has a plan for you, declareth the Lord. A plan not to harm you, but to prosper you. And that's exactly the plan He had for Hezekiah and for Israel. You see, God needs to let us get to those places where we have created or allowed these mountains to come into our lives because we have worshipped other gods. We have gone before other gods. But it is only this time when God is going to tear down those things, when He is going to re-cement in our lives the reality of who He is and how much He loves us and what He's willing to get us through. I'll tell you right now, some of those mountains are called cancer, death, car accidents, job losses, and the list goes on. Amen? But God is not going to let us alone if we will humble ourselves and pray. And folks, when the mountain is that big, there are times when we need to cry out. And I'm going to tell you right now, there are far too many mountains. I swear the tectonic plates of this spiritual world we live in are shifting. The Himalayas are coming up everywhere around us. Can I get an amen on that? All we have to do is look at the spiritual horizon, and there are mountains sprouting up where there were valleys and plains in the midst of a country that has loved God and served Him. What's going on? Folks, we're seeing the preparation of the end times come. We are seeing all the things that are going to bring us to the place of the fulfillment of all time. Now, when's it going to happen? I don't know. I couldn't tell you. It took 2,000 years from the time of Christ to get here. But are we seeing it? Oh, man, yeah. Are you excited about it? Probably not, but I am. Because I'll guarantee you, prophecy is coming true. Jesus is coming back, and I'm going to fly away one day. And I pray that we all believe that and hold to that. But until that time, we know the scripture's true. And guess what's going to happen? It's going to get worse. There are going to be more and more mountains coming up. So how do we get ourselves into this? That when I'm crying out, that God's able to move those mountains. Okay? We need to understand something. We must believe. Turn in your Bibles to Mark 11, 22. Mark 11, 22. And I'm not watching my time. I got to watch what I'm doing because I got two more points to go through in 12 minutes. Mark 11, 22. Oop, one more page, sorry. This is 22 and 23. Okay? This is amazing. This is amazing. And Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Mark 11, 22. And truly, from 23, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Now, I'm ending there. There's more to that, all right? But I'm ending there. Because my point is this, when Jesus was talking about moving mountains, he was not literally meaning to say to the Grand Tetons, be picked ye up and go into the sea. Because if that was the case, could you imagine what our world would look like? All us idiots would be standing at the base of all these mountains trying to get them to move. What he's talking about there is metaphorically about the mountains in our lives, the things that happen that are far huger than us, that God tells us if we believe by faith and we speak unto that, when you speak unto something, do you whisper? Should I say this a little louder? I had to try and get that into my microphone. It's not a whisper. Jesus is talking about a proclamation there. Do you get it? That's what crying out is. Crying out is a proclamation. When you read the prayer of Hezekiah in 2 Kings, you will read where he laid this stuff out and he spoke out loud, oh Lord God, look! He wasn't being timid, for we do not have a spirit of timidity, but of power. And we need to understand that. If we are going to work it right, we must believe, and we have got to proclaim it. But there's also something else that we have to do. And I do have to say this. This is not wishy-washy stuff. This is not a, oh, let's name it and claim it, right? And how many ministers out there are saying, oh, just name it. Oh, just give your money, and God will bless you. No, that's not the way it works. We have got to be real with God, with ourselves, and we must be people of obedience. Because I'm going to tell you right now, before you cry out to move mountains, you've got to be prepared for those mountains to be moved. What does that mean? Turn back to 2 Chronicles. Chronicles. We are going to be in verse 30, or chapter 31, verses 20 and 21. Second Chronicles, chapter 31, just one chapter before, and verses 20 and 21. And then I'll explain. And it says to us from verse 20 and 21, "Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judea. And he did what was good, right, and true before the Lord his God. Every work which he began in the service of the house of God in law and in commandment, seeking his God, he did with all his heart and prospered." I need you to understand, when King Sennacherib said to these people, he's tore down God's high places. No, he tore down the Asherah sites. He tore down the Baal sites. Because all these sites that were tore down were not to the God of Israel. They were not to the God of creation. They were to demonic beings which have been out here since the beginning of time. The Nephilim. The fallen angels. And you and I have to understand they're still here and they're still seeking us to worship them and their things, because their master is the prince of this world, and that is Satan. You and I have to be right with God. Hezekiah was right with God. Hezekiah cleaned up Judah. Hezekiah was one of the honorable kings. We need to remember it's during this time that we see the good kings and the bad kings of Israel. And Hezekiah was one of the good kings, and Israel prospered under him. His very next in line, Manasseh, his son, was one of the worst kings. But Hezekiah had it right. He got it right. And you and I, if we are going to see mountains move, we have got to be right with God. Now, does that mean you have to be perfect? How many people out here right now are perfect? You mean I'm the only one? We know that's not the truth. Each and every one of us falls short. But folks, that's not what I'm talking about. Do you think Hezekiah fell short? You know he did. He was human. Come on. The man had his faults. I mean, if you keep reading the account, it got to the point where he collected cities and treasures, and it was like, oh, boy, you know, I listen to God. Look at what I get. Again, people, hey, we're spoiled. We want what we want. But God judges the heart and the mind. Hezekiah truly wanted to serve the Lord. That's what it says, doesn't it? With all his heart, he really did. Was he still a screwed up guy? Yeah, so are you. Does God love you any less than he loved Hezekiah? No, but he wants you to follow him. Do what he tells you to do. Walk with him. Be in church. Pray. Get right with God. And if you are right with God, and that does not mean perfect. There's nobody perfect. Jesus was the only one that was, and look what we did to that poor guy. But when we get our hearts right, that we are truly seeking the Lord as much as we can, as much as we are able. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's going to vary in different places in your life at different times. You know, we were talking about that today right out here in discipleship, weren't we? Isn't it amazing how God puts his stuff all together? He makes it all fit. You know, I couldn't do this if I tried. And right now, I know there are people out there, you folks out there on the internet, you are dealing with things right now where you know, I've been walking so wonderfully with the Lord and things have been good, and now all of a sudden all this stuff's coming. Yeah, the evil one wants you to feel defeated, and God wants you to know that he loves you. So take every opportunity, and we know. And we know. Romans 8:28, right? And we know. To those who love him, God worketh all things to good. But we have to have the mindset to do that which is right. I need you to cry out to the Lord during these times. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of God. Don't feel like, oh, well, I can't bother him and I really don't deserve this. No kidding. He knows that. But you're his child. He loves you. He wants to give you these good things. He wants to be there with you. But you've got to be there with him. You've got to be right with him. And then you have to have the faith to believe and move. As God tells us, speak ye therefore to this mountain, be ye moved, and it will be done. Wow. How many of us go through tough stuff when we wouldn't have to if we simply listen to what God tells us? But you know what? I really need us to think about this. Do we really want that mountain moved? Or do we like the fact that that mountain is there because I know that mountain. I've been up that mountain several times and back down and up that mountain and back down and up that mountain and back down. And I'm comfortable with it. I don't like it, but it's nothing new. Boy, there's a little bit of consternation. Huh? You see, God will test us. Do you really want that mountain moved? Well, there are three paths up that mountain, and you've been walking up and down it so long that there's three paths up and down that rock mountain. We need to be willing to get rid of the mountain, truly get rid of the mountain. Truly get rid of the mountain. What did I just say? Hezekiah knew if this mountain didn't leave, what was going to happen to the people? They were going to die. The king of Assyria would come in. He would destroy all of them, take all the riches from the temple and everything that they had, take their land, take their animals, take their women, destroy the men. It was the end of Israel, if that were the case. But it was not the case, because the king was right, and God saved them all. We need to understand, he did what was good and true, right, and his heart sought God in everything. Are you there? That doesn't mean you're perfect. Are you seeking God? That's what he wants. Because if you are, get on your face and cry out. Get on your face and cry out. Please remember, number three, to cry out is not a whimper or a whisper. All right? I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. This is my last scripture. I'm down to a minute and 17 seconds. Do you think I can finish in time, church? Yeah. Bobby's being optimistic. Everybody else is being true. Matthew 14. Man, I should have put a bookmark in here rather than thumbing through the way I am. Matthew 14, verse 30. And the reason I went here is because I wanted us to see that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Matthew 14 and verse 30. And it says, but seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. You know, I laugh when I think about this. Here, we're looking at Peter. We all know this. Impetuous Peter, right? Quick to act. Quick to speak. Slow to thought. How many of you identify with Peter? Miss Eva's hand was up before I even said it. That was so cool. We are Peter. So many times in our lives. But Peter here was walking in the truth of God. The Lord Jesus called him out of the boat. We all know the story, right? Jesus called him out of the boat, and he's walking on the water. Can you imagine? Please understand, it was a storm. All right? We kind of forget that. It was a storm. Jesus was walking on the water in a storm, and they were petrified. And he said, "Be ye not afraid." And Peter said, "Oh, okay, call me, Lord, and I'll come out there and greet you." So Jesus says, "Come." And Peter gets out of the boat, and boy, he's walking. Could you watch? Man, wouldn't it be neat if I could just, you know, my faith ain't that big. And all of a sudden, Peter, who was focused fully on God, got sidetracked for just a moment. And he caught the waves in his eyes. And all of a sudden he remembered, there's a storm. And what happened? He started to go down. But you see, Peter didn't stop. Peter didn't get stupid. Peter didn't drown. Why? Because Peter did the one thing that Peter needed to do. And he cried out, "Lord, help me." And I'm sure that was a, "Oh, Lord, help me." Right? Yeah, he's going down in a storm. Do you think that was a, "Lord, help me"? Brothers and sisters, when we're crying out to God, right here, I can't make it any more clear. We're talking about drowning. We are talking about a type of spiritual death. And God does not want us in hesitation. God wants us in desperation. Because he is the God of all our needs. And he's the only one who can meet that need. When we are in that mode of crying out, we are finally at the point of realizing, I can't do it all. In fact, I can't do any of it. There is nothing that would happen in our lives without the will of God allowing it to happen. Do we understand that? But in Christ Jesus, he has given us the ability to succeed when we depend upon him, when we walk with him, when we honor him, when we come to him in faith and in truth. And that's where we are here, brothers and sisters. I want you to understand something. You are going to face mountains all the days of your lives. And as you come upon those mountains, you have a way of getting rid of them. Jesus says to cry out. He says to speak to that mountain. And that is talking with a voice of command. But we also need to remember, Hezekiah, when he was there, he said the truth. He spoke the truth. "Look, Lord, what this king has said, he has insulted you. He is on and on and on and on. Please look this stuff up." Moses cried out before the Lord. Jabez cried out before the Lord. We go down the line. David cried out before the Lord. We go down the line. There are so many men and women who cried out before the Lord, and God granted every one of their petitions because their hearts were right. And they knew that if God didn't intervene, it was done. And when you're there, we need to remember he is there. Not with a whimper, not with a whisper, but with a cry of humility that says, "You are my God and no other." And watch what God alone will do. Will you pray with me? Father God, we come before you because we know you are the only one who can move those mountains of our lives. So Lord God, we just ask that as we begin to understand and to reason and to put forth our faith, that for crying out loud, meet us here today. Meet us where we are needed. Because, oh Lord God, you are the God who hears our cries and moves in our lives. You want to be that God. May we be the people who understand and receive that truth from you. It would change our world, Lord. I think it did once. Maybe, just maybe, Lord, you can do it again in Christ Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.